I am a part of his body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and discipline. I choose to believe his dream. What happened? I trust in him. I am who God meant me to be.
Well, we welcome you on this Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about how to improve ourselves, to be healthier people, to be able to love better the people and the God in our lives. And so we welcome you in the center and in the point. Great group in the point today, a great group in the center today. And so we're going to dig in and talk together about this next step in the process of this 40 days to a healthier life. Many parts of the world, many churches practice 40 days of Lent. We actually are in those 40 days leading up to, we think of Lent, it's like almost springtime. Yeah, right. We've been kind of spoiled, you know, so it's not feeling so much like springtime today, but it really is kind of, we're in that window. And so for us, we're calling it 40 days to a healthy life. It's just getting started on the things that we'd like to change. And the truth is, the question is there a way to change? Because you would like to get better in some area, right? You'd like to be healthier in some area, but it's not always easy. And somebody from the church, we talked last week about the body, beginning to talk about the body and other things we want to deal with in our lives, but really focusing in the first 2 weeks what the Bible says about the physical body. And so somebody in church sent me this cartoon. Let me show you this, read you this cartoon. It says, guy says to his wife, honey, do you want to go to the gym with me? She said, why, do you think I'm fat? He said, no, I don't mean to. Oh, never mind. You don't have to go. Oh, you think I'm lazy? He said, oh, God, would you please help me with this woman, God? Honey, just calm down. Well, now you think I'm crazy? That's not what I meant to say. Now you say I'm a liar? Oh, just forget about it. Don't go with me. Wait a minute. Why do you want to go alone? Have you found that to be challenging in your relationships? Of course. So whether it's working on your relationships to make those better, or your relationship with God, or some pattern in your life, that thanks for sending me that, because that really tees up what we're talking about together in these weeks. And so today we're going to talk about that. And we're going to, here's our laser focus is there anything we can actually do that would like give lasting change? See, we're not talking about 40 days and then, boy, check that off. No, this is initiating change to be healthier in these 40 days, and it's a lifestyle choice you're wanting to make. Is it really possible to like change a lifelong pattern in your life that you know you need to change and you've given up on? Can it really be sustained? And can you continue to sustain spiritual growth? Is your growth going this way, or are you going, well, it used to be, it's kind of going down now? No, it should be rising regularly. Anything to do to help with this? Thank the Lord for Romans chapter 12. Take your Bibles and please turn to Romans chapter 12. We always put scriptures on the screen, but we encourage you to bring your Bibles. You can write in your margins. If you don't have a Bible, stop and get one after the service today. But we'll put the scriptures here for you. Open up the sermon notes section. If you're a guest today, there's a sermon notes section, and it kind of keeps us on focus and on point. And the idea is that you can review this. The message will be online probably by Tuesday, and so you can actually re-watch the message, talk about with your outlines. You can do this at work, with your classmates, with your family, with a small group, which we're going to talk about, and that's the idea, to flesh it out, to talk it through, instead of just listening to it. Change won't happen if you just hear an hour and you're done with this. You begin to talk through this thing, change can really begin to happen. And Romans 12 is a passage that helps us with this. So here's the big idea today, so we all kind of know what we're focusing on. Here's the focus, that authentic worship leads to lasting change. Now you think music when I say worship. I'm not talking about music. It has nothing to do with music. No, worship of God. When you live a life of worship to God that's authentic, that's what leads to lasting change. And so in Romans 12, as we just unpack the scripture, he really gives us six principles that just jump out at us in regard to having healthy worship in the context of having a healthy body. He also talks about a healthy spirit and a soul, but there's some principles here and there are laws of change here. Six principles and then six laws of change that come out of this, and you really can begin to make progress in that area that you had given up on. This can be the day. It really can be the day. Here's the first principle. It's the principle of dedication. You commit your body to God. Why? Your body affects your behavior. All right, let me prove it to you. Everybody sit up straight. Up straight. Take a deep breath. Take it in. Hold it. Let it out. I don't know if you feel any better, but you look a heck of a lot better right now. You know what just happened? You told your brain to do something, and your body changed. Psychology affects physiology. They are connected. And so it was an amazing thing. Your body just said, sit up and listen. So I've got your attention. I got probably 30 seconds, because then you're used to a commercial. So in our culture, it's a hard thing to watch one main angle, you know, for quite a period of time. So you have to work at this thing. But the truth is, you actually can work your body in such a way that you commit your body to God. It really is tied in together. Well, Romans 12, let's start at verse 1. He says, so I plead with you. In other words, see, this is not going to be easy. That tells you up front, right? It's a parent who says, I plead with you. Please get this. A teacher, I plead with you, students. This is serious. It's going to be hard. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. And it doesn't say offer your soul to God. Give your heart to God. We sing that all the time. But we don't often sing give your body to God. So there's a theology of giving your body physically to God. Why? Because as long as you're in this planet, everything you do for God, everything you do with God, in God, you're going to do in your body for God. Your body is on loan to you from God. And so while you're in this life, as you serve God, it's going to come out of the context of your physical body. Now, they had an issue. It was a cult in the first century, and we're still living it today. They were called the Gnostics, G-N Gnostics, okay? And they separated the mind, the body, the soul from the physical body. Let's focus on the mind, the body, and the soul. The body's only temporary anyway, so that's secondary. And it's still a problem today. Why is that? Because the most acceptable sin in the church is my sin. It's called eating too much. For real, right? In the church, that's a common thing. Because we go, well, you know what? If you're focusing on your body, your soul, your mind, that's what really matters. The body, oh, well, if I go to Jesus a little earlier than normal, okay. And you really can make a case for that. And some days I'm all about that. supersize that bad boy for me today. Would you do that? When I'm ready to go to heaven, just supersize that thing. The truth is, that's not a good way to do that. The body matters to God as much as your spirit, your soul, and your mind, and your heart. Your body's only temporary, but your Christian life in this life is connected to your body. So that's why he drives this home. Now, in their society, they taught this to such a degree, everything about the soul, mind, and spirit could be spiritual and good. Everything about the physical body, everything was bad. In other words, sexuality was even bad, dirty, unclean. But the Bible teaches just the opposite of that. God created sexuality, intimacy, physically with another person, as a wonderful, holy thing. If sex is dirty to you, you misunderstood. God had the first sexual thought. So it was pure and holy. So sex between two people is pure and holy in the context of biblical marriage. That's why the Bible defines that. When that comes down, everything else comes down. And every society in the history of the world, it breaks down. When we walk away from God's way of doing stuff, and God's defined for us biblical marriage, and so sex and biblical marriage is a good thing. It's a holy thing. It's a wonderful thing. But they said the body's all bad. Just forget it. But he says, give your bodies to God. Now, key word is give. When you give something, is that voluntary or is it forced? It's voluntary. Now, you can say, oh, here you go. But you're forced to do it, right? No, but when you're really giving something, you're choosing to do that. It's a choice you make. I love doing weddings, and I love celebrating weddings. A couple drove from near Cincinnati, Ohio last night. I married him 28 years ago. I was 34 years old. My daughter's now 35. It was at the old Brownsburg Christian Church in the center of town. My second year here, I married a couple. Last night was their 28th wedding anniversary. They've been living out of town for a long time. And they wanted to come and say, would you mind, we'd like to renew our wedding vows, and we'd like you to baptize us. We've never really been baptized. It's time we do that. So they came here last night. She's in a wheelchair, so we had some guys to help her because they misdiagnosed H1N1, and now she has a chronic lung disease. And he can't hear very well, so he has all this stuff on here. He can't hear very well. But he could hear enough that I could shout the vows to them in the baptistry. And they repeated their vows to each other, and then their vows to God. They're baptized into Christ 28 years later. I love weddings, don't you? But I got to be honest. Have you noticed that weddings don't always go just like perfectly? And it's okay. I say to people, just relax. You've planned it. If it didn't go perfect, just relax, enjoy it. And this little thing helps remind me. My preacher friend Wayne Smith always used this line, and it gives me a little help when things are feeling a little tense in a wedding. Because in every wedding, it's the same deal. The bride, she comes down the aisle, right? They come and stand at the altar. Then you sing a hymn. And the bride is thinking, I'll altar him. Yeah. Come on. Don't go. Don't give me a groan on that. No, that's the truth. She may not say it. She's saying, I can fix this boy. I can do this. Can you fix him? No, you cannot. He might pretend to put a Band-Aid just to make you think you fixed him, but you haven't fixed him. You can't fix him. And guys, you can't fix your wife. Can't fix your kids. You can't fix your parents. The only person that can change you is you and God. That's really the truth. And so we're talking about this thing called change, but understand that's the first law of change. Change is your choice. It's your choice. Listen, some of you brought somebody today and you're going, Pastor Steve, change him. I brought him here, fix him. I can't fix him or her. I couldn't if I wanted to. Only God can change that person, and that person can only change if they make the choice to allow God to change them. See? Look at the last part of the passage here. It says this, so let them be a living and holy sacrifice. So offer your bodies to God. Your bodies, let their body be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. Now leave that there for just a minute. Do you see the oxymoron, living sacrifice? What do you know when something sacrificed? Is it alive or dead? Dead. Okay. This is a living sacrifice. Your body is a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice is a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. Good morning, everybody home? You can crawl off the altar. What do I mean? You can say, God, I want to turn this over to you. I'm going to change this for 40 days. And you do. But then you have, every time the temptation comes back, and it will come back, you can resist the evil one, but he'll return. He knows the forwarding address. You leave a forwarding address. So he'll leave you, but he'll come back. And then her temptation comes all over again. Probably it's that besetting sin. It's that thing that you struggle with most of your life, and you know what it is right now. It's that thing that just keeps raising its head. Is that ever going to change? Is it possible for that to change? Okay, God, here I am. But then when it starts to go, well, okay, God, I've got this now. Appreciate it. Help somebody else. And that's when we're in trouble. Because every time you're tempted to do the thing that makes you unhealthy, you got to all over again make the decision to be healthy, to offer your body to God. Last part of the verse is the key to the message. This is truly the way to worship God. He's talking about your bodies. You follow this? How about your body? A living sacrifice. You're alive. You want to be holy. It's a daily choice, but it's an act of worship. Now you're saying, you're telling me, am I hearing you say today that your body can actually worship God? Your body, not your soul, your spirit, your body. Absolutely, your body. Let me give you three acts of worship with your body that we can offer to God. Number one, you can cleanse your body. Now, I'm not talking about colon cleansing. Some of you are going, did he really just say that in the pulpit? Yeah. End point, yes, that's what I said. Center's what I said. Colon cleansing is fine, but it's not the whole deal. God wants to cleanse your whole body from head to toe. You need to cleanse your body because you're taking some things into your body that need to be taken away. It's defiling your body. It's getting in the way of your body being used for God. So stop putting stuff in your body that will keep you from being all God wants you to be, okay? Over in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, the same Spirit of God said this to the church in Corinth, Greece, let us cleanse ourselves from everything can defile our what? There it is again. Or spirit. So yeah, you're talking about the spirit, but you also have to cleanse your body. And let's work toward, what's the goal? Complete holiness, because we fear God. We respect God. We worship and honor God. That's why. Okay? So he talks to us about how this thing can really work. And so you say, what contaminates my physical body? Anything you take into your mouth can decamp and contaminate your body. In other words, whatever you eat and drink can contaminate your body. How do you contaminate the spirit? It's what you're taking through your eyes and your ears. You with me? Are you with me? Okay, what you watch, what you listen to, that can defile your body. What you take physically into your body can defile your spirit. What you watch and listen to, you can defile your body by what you take into your mouth, okay? And so that's why he's talking about the body and the spirit. Here's the second way that you can worship God. You can care for your body. Christ cared for his body, the church. We're supposed to care for our bodies as the temple of God. You think it's your body, but it's on loan from God, so we need to care for the physical body. Ephesians 5:29 says, nobody hates his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. If you're a healthy person, you try to care for your body. That's it. Number three, you can actually control your body. This is a big one. Now, here's what's interesting. Some of you have went, check, 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 I am good. Some of you are all over this. You're good. You're good with the body thing. You really work on this. But I'm not just talking about cleansing your body, watching what you eat, caring for your body, your habits, controlling your body with your choices. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about when you do it to worship God. Now, you can go to a gym. Now, this would never happen in our gym here at the church. But I'm sure some gyms this happens. People are working with their weights, and it's not to worship God. They keep looking in the mirror, and they keep going. They're working out for who? Themselves or somebody else. And again, see, that'll get you going a while, but that you won't stay with that. It's not enough motivation. You get tired at some point if it's just for you. If you say, I got to do this for God, as an accountability to God, that's the kind of motivation that can change. And then it becomes an act of worship when you do these things with your body, okay? And you allow God to do that. This thing about controlling, it's a pretty interesting thing. You can actually control your body with God's help and offer it to him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4, each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor. So some of you, have you ever said this? I just couldn't help myself. I just couldn't control my body. But God says he will give you the strength. You can control your body. You can make a choice. to make better choices with your body, what you take into it physically and in your eyes and your ears spiritually. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. So the word is, I discipline. Yeah, this is going to be hard work. I discipline discipline your body. My body as an athlete. I discipline my physical body as an athlete. I'm training it to do what it really ought to do, what it should do. Dr. Michael Roizen is a chief wellness officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I want to show you what he said. Look at this. 75% of all the money spent on healthcare in this country, $2.5 trillion, stems from chronic diseases which can be prevented by lifestyle what? Oh, man. He says 3 out of 4 diseases we have could be solved if we made better choices in regard to our body. So this is about making a choice. It's about making a decision to offer my physical body to God. Here's the second principle. It's the principle of concentration. Now we move, it's refocusing your mind. So you focus on the physical body, but now you also focus on the mind. That's the second verse, verse 2. He says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? By the way you think. So refocus what you think about. Okay? You have to refocus what you think about, because whatever gets your attention gets you. So this thinking thing is just huge. And so stop focusing on the bad thing and focus on the good thing. Some sweet member of this church last night brought me, at the end of this service last night, a chocolate cake with raspberries on it and wine in it. So like cake and communion, how sweet is that? This is a God thing, right? My wife is not feeling well, it's Valentine's Day. I'm getting the point. So I take it home. Hey, baby, just for you. Now, there's half of it left this morning. So I got a choice now. Right now, this whole sermon, I'm going, oh, man, that cake is at home. I'm not going to have another piece today. I'm not going to have another piece of that cake. There's no way. Whatever I do today, I'm not going to have a piece of that cake. I know it's half of it's there, but I'm not going to have a piece of that cake later today. I'm just not going to. I will not do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. What am I going to do? You focus on what you shouldn't do, probably gonna mess up. So what I want to do, focus on what you want to do. By the way, you focus on what everybody else wants you to focus on. No, focus on what God and you want you to focus on. There's some control on this thing. You can change this. You can become healthy. You know, nobody ever started smoking. There's some people in this room who've struggled with smoking now or in the past. Nobody ever took their first smoke of a cigarette and went, that is awesome. Everybody goes, what's the first thing? What do they do? And you did it just to copy somebody. You saw somebody else. Only reason you did it, you go, this is stupid the first time. But you keep doing it, and now you are addicted to it. You started by copying the behaviors of somebody else, and it becomes now your deal, and you've got to own it. You can't blame anybody anymore. So what starts as copying becomes you. So don't copy the behavior and customs of the world in whatever form they are. See, it's all about role models. Role models. There's a problem with role models. Human role models. There's not a single perfect human role model. Is that a problem? Yes, it's a problem. Do we need human role models? Yes, we need human role models. God is enough, but I think we need people with skin on too. You really do. We all do. And so you may have had some role models in the past who didn't give you the best advice. Let's say the way conflict was resolved in your home. You watched them resolve conflict, and that was not a healthy way. And if you don't stop to think about it, you end up doing the same thing because of what you've seen. Some of you you watch people manage their anger in an unhealthy way. It's somebody you admired. And so that's what you kick into unless you think about it. Some of you had poor role models in regard to food. I love my mama and my grandmother and my mama. They're with Jesus. But that chocolate cake is going down. My mama had dessert at every meal. Every meal. She worked full time. I told my wife with this, honey, we had dessert at every meal. Kristen said, we need to relearn that. Okay? So we got some role models that maybe we loved them, but maybe it wasn't the best. And so we have to say, you know what? I need to change my thinking, have a different role model here. So you change the way you think. That's the second law of change. You change your role models. Not offended. You still love that person, but you realize in this area I need to change. That's not my best role model. I need to change this. This is who I'm going to look to. Okay? Now, the only perfect model is Jesus Christ. Good news is we have a wonderful verse in the Bible. I love when people say, I only follow Christ. I don't follow any human being. Paul, the Apostle Paul, 6 times said, follow me, flawed guy, follow me as I follow Christ. You don't worship him, but you follow people who lead you. You need to follow people who lead you well. People, though, who are following Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. 20 times Jesus said, follow me. But Paul said 6 times, follow me as I follow Christ. That's a pretty good goal, isn't it? That's a pretty good goal for you. Live in such a way you can say to people coming behind me, I'm not perfect, don't worship me, but follow me because I'm trying to follow Christ. And by the way, that provides accountability for you. You're now more mindful. You invite somebody to watch you. Do you really want to change? Invite somebody to watch you. You'll change if you're healthy. And so role modeling is a good thing, and so Christ is the center. The question is, see, our students, we major on kids and students here because we know that students, they're going to hang out with a group. It's going to be a positive group or a negative group. So our last part of our project is a student ministry center. We're so focused on our students because they need healthy role models, but so do you. So kids, if you're in the room, choose your friends very, very carefully. Adults, choose your friends very carefully. Your role model can set you up for failure. Again, you'll be responsible. You make the choice, but change your role model, it'll help you a little bit. See verse 3, he says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Focus on the word transform this time. The word transform, you're writing in your Bible there somewhere. It's the word for metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. This is not improvement. This is total change. When a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, total change. God can totally change that thing in your life that is your besetting sin or your struggle where you want to be healthier. He can make a complete change and transformation on that. But God can do that by changing the way you think, but you got to own up to it. Now, we have a granddaughter who's a little over 2.5 years of age now. My wife watches her 3 days a week. I had forgotten something about babies and attitudes. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, she's 2.5, and she's got the attitude thing going on a little bit. But the bigger thing I'd forgotten was that when you have a child running around with diapers on, if you don't change them from time to time, it's going to start to stink. Did you follow that? All right, it starts to stink. Now, Lucy now has a strong will. The other day, my son said, Dad, she's just like me. I said, I know. So, poor Lucy is like her papa and her daddy. She has strong will. And now she's with Gigi. No, I don't need to be changed, Gigi. No, I'm good. So, there's been a lot of time. Yeah, it's stinking, honey. That's you. Got to change this. Now, listen to me. It's like your attitude. Some of you have stinking thinking. You have an attitude that's not good. It's beginning to stink. Have you noticed people are keeping you at a little bit of a distance? They're avoiding you because your attitude reeks. Okay? And so, that's hard to hear that. But don't give up on it. It's just the way I am. My dad was, my grandpa. Forget that stuff. No, you can change that. With some fresh thinking, with God's help. If I call you up today and say, hey, listen, can I come over to your house today about 3 o'clock? And you say, well, yeah, where are you? And if I go, you know what, I'm totally lost, I don't even know where I am. What would you say to me next? Beyond, do you know how to read a GPS, son? Do you have one? Then if we get by that, if you say, if I say, how do I come to your place? You say, where are you? And I go, I don't know really where I am. You're going to tell me what? Then I cannot tell you how to get here. You do not know where you need to go until you identify where you are right now. So this is going to be the hard part of the lesson. You excited about this? You got to deal with where you are right now. That thing that needs to become healthier, be real with that. Be honest about it, okay? And that's the third principle. It's the one of evaluation. You have to humbly assess your current reality. Leave it there. Your current reality. Now see, the greatest barrier to changing what you want to change and become healthier, it's your pride. Some of you are stuck, and you've been stuck, and you're still going to be stuck because you're thinking, boy, when is this message going to be over? Because you won't admit you need to change. See, nobody has it all together. You understand that? Especially when you come to church. Don't be drawn in to how people look when they come to church. Nobody has it all together. We kind of try to impress. We try to manage this thing. Nobody has it together. I don't have it together. You don't have it together. We already know you don't have it together. So stop pretending. So just say, you know what? Pony up here. What needs to change? Our finances are a problem. Look at all these financial opportunities in these classes. I think we need to humble ourselves and go fix this thing and deal with it. Let's define where we are. This physical thing, I need to work on my health. Here's the reality. We're going to begin to do something about this. Our relationship is stuck. It's hard to talk about. We got to go into the tunnel of chaos. Nobody wants to go in there. But until you go in there, it's not going to get healthy. Okay? So what is it in your finances, your health, your relationships, your attitude? What is it that needs to change and you just won't admit that it needs to change? What is it? Verse 3, Paul says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, so this is from the Holy Spirit, God gave him these words, I give you a warning. Don't you hate when somebody gives you a warning? I give you a warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. So my question for you today is, what are you pretending is not a problem in your life? What are you pretending is healthy and it needs to be healthier? What are you pretending in your marriage? It's broken, but you won't admit it. What are you pretending is not a problem in your finances, but it's a problem? What are you pretending is an issue in your health, but you won't admit it? Do you have enough courage to look into the mirror and confront yourself? Now, that's hard to do because we develop. See, some of you are old enough now. When you get my age or so, there's a point in which you can tend to say, I've given up on this changing, so I'll just manage this. Let me just manage this to keep my job, good standing in church, stay in my family. I'm going to manage this. Am I know what I'm talking about? I know you're afraid to talk out loud, and you don't have to. But some of you, you've given up on changing. You're just trying to manage. And that's not change. So here's what you have to do. Somebody you trust and you know loves you, you need to ask them, would you tell me if this is an area I need to work on? And then if they are honest with you, don't pout for 3 days. You hear me? That can be the thing that changes your life. If you say to somebody that you trust and you know they love you, tell me the truth about this. I need to face the reality. And don't tell me what I want to hear. I'm not going to look in the mirror and write down what I want it to be. No, what's it really like? See, the last part of verse 3, it's about being honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring, that's a Greek word for metric system. Metric system, you measure it. You measure yourselves by what? The faith God has given to you. So here is the question. This is the whole ball game. You ready for this one? This is the one you came for. Do you measure your faith? Do you have enough faith to believe that God can change that thing in your life? Again, some of you have given up on it. Do you have enough faith to believe that God's got this if you work with him? It's not too late to change it. Is your faith great enough to believe God can change it? You measure your faith, and then you're on your way. What you measure makes all the difference. And that's the third law of change. You can only manage what you measure. All right, if I don't measure my faith, I'm not going to be able to manage or access my faith to help me. If I don't measure my health, I'm never going to manage my health if I don't really assess where my health is. If I don't measure where I am financially, if I don't write down what's my income, what's my spending, what's my debt, I don't want to write it down. I'd rather not look at it. No, measure what it is. If you don't measure it, you won't begin to manage it. So two real practical applications. Here's the first thing you have to do if you're really serious about this. Record your progress in writing. Okay? If you're working on a health issue, write down, you know, when you make some progress. Finances, write down when you start to make some progress. Relationship, write down when you begin to make some progress. And you measure the progress, and then you can be better manage because you're dealing with the truth now instead of living in a deceitful world. Okay? Denial. Here's the second thing you do. Know your starting numbers. This is going to ruin your day. I know it. But know your starting numbers. If it's a health issue, know your weight, your height, your waist, your blood pressure. Till you know the numbers, you won't begin to manage what needs to be managed. Okay? Same with money. Again, write it down so you can measure it. Not what you want it to be, but what it really is. Because I cannot imagine, I can't even see, I don't even know where I need to go until I know where I am. Are you with me? I love the fact it gets quieter, this message, every principle we go. Did that last night too. It gets quieter as we go. That means you're listening. That's good. Fourth principle, it's cooperation. You have to get some group support. You say, God's enough. Well, yes and no. Because 58 times in the Bible, God said, you need each other. Pray for each other. Forgive each other. Support each other. Encourage each other. You were not meant to go through life by yourself. And this is about you, somebody saying, I'm not married. This has nothing to do being married or not married. It's having a spiritual family, some people in your life who provide group support. Over in Romans 15, Paul wrote about this in the next to the last chapter of the letter. He said, the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently. There's, again, two interesting words. Wait patiently, because see, you can trust in God, right? You're waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. God always delivers, so maybe not on your schedule, he'll deliver. So you wait patiently for what God's going to do. And so he continues telling us, I think it's the next verse here, so then may God who gives us this patience, so you won't have it on your own. God, give me the patience and give me the encouragement, God, to help me live in complete harmony with who? With each other. So God is enough, but you need other people. Live in harmony with each other, because what is unhealthy in your life will wound the people in your life. When you get healthier, you'll have better harmony with people in your life. It's all fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus, he says for us here. And that's the fourth law of change. Change requires community. You're not going to change in a vacuum. You do it around people. I mean, you change faster, you're going to change better, you'll change longer, you'll change more completely, and more likely, you can actually make a lifestyle permanent change with people in your life, the right people in your life. The Bible tells us, see, there are two things you need to change, and it doesn't happen without them. You need God's power and God's people. There's so many books on, we're going to talk about healthy relationships next week and healthy goals the week after that. There's a lot of writing on goals and plans and all kinds of stuff, life coaches, all this kind of stuff, and that's fine, some good stuff. But if you don't have God's power, it's not happening. If you have God's people, it's not going to happen. You must have God's power and God's people to bring about lasting change, and that was God's idea. And that leads to the fifth principle. It's a principle of affirmation. Fill your life with love. You know this is Valentine's Day, right? Some of you just went, uh-oh. You can be smooth today, and you can still get something done. Just be clever, be creative. Tell somebody today in your life, tell somebody three words. I love you. Say the words. Say the words. Say it. It'll renew you and them. refreshes. Most powerful force in the world. Gives you energy. It empowers when you're worn out, you know? Look at the next verse, verse 9 of Romans 12. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Here's the hard part. When you really love somebody, you hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. When you really love somebody, you dare to talk about the conflict. You dare to tell them the truth when they ask you. Verse 10, so love each other with genuine affection and take delight. I love this phrase. Circle this and write it down. Honoring each other. Do you work at honoring people in your life? That's a pretty good goal every day. Help me to honor this person today. That's a whole different deal than being nice to them, right? And tolerating them. Trying to honor them. And then here's the great thing about a group. When you're in a group and you tell your group, and we hope you get in a small group, please, because when you go to that group, you say, you know, I'm working on my health. And so the next week you go, I've lost 2 pounds. I thought hope was 10, but it was only 2. As a group, you need to say, way to go. That's awesome. Yeah, you dare to say to somebody, you know, I need to work on my relationship with my mate. You tell them, oh, we had a tough conversation, but we did it. Way to go. You ask somebody, pray for me about my finances. You go, well, I wrote down the numbers. Oh, my gosh, it's worse than I thought it was. You say, way to go. Because now you know where you are, and you can begin to gain progress. You cheer each other on. It makes all the difference. The amazing thing is when you go to a group, you're not going to a group just for you, but you're going for somebody else. When you care about others, God cares for you. You know the story of Job, right? Guy lost everything. Lost his hope. We would think he would have lost his hope because he lost all of his kids, his money, his wealth. He lost everything, but he did hang on to God at the end of the day. The most important verse in the whole story of Job is in Job 24 or 42, the end of the book, verse 10. It says this, very key part to the story. He lost everything, but when Job prayed for who? His friends. When he prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Now, would you blame the guy for praying for himself? No. When you're hurting, tell God that, but it wasn't obsessed with poor me. He prayed for somebody else, and that's when it unleashed God's power on him. Because, see, you need to be in a small group not just to be helped by other people. I hope they'll take care of me. No, you go to group to find people you can take care of and help. That's the difference. And here's the last principle. It's the principle of motivation. You have to nurture your enthusiasm if you're going to reach your goals, if you're going to maintain it. It's going to be a lifestyle change over the long haul. I look this way, in the point and in the center. Almost done. Look this way. You are never going to get out of debt by yourself. You're never going to get your health in a better way by yourself. You're never going to fix the relationships by yourself. Could God do it all? Yeah. But he's wired us in such a way we need other people to come alongside us. That's just the way it is. And many people cannot go forward because they're so, again, you're managing. You want nobody to know. Somebody you trust and your partner, your mate should not have to be your police officer. Find somebody in your life who can help you maintain your enthusiasm. The Greek word for enthusiasm, two Greek words, enthusiasm, in theos, N-I-N, theos, God, enthusiasm, in God. When you're in God and God's in you, you have enthusiasm, you have passion. You won't make the change without that kind of passion. And so when you get in God again, you will be enthusiastic. Did you hear what Tony Dungy said when he was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame last Saturday? Mike in front of him, here's the first thing he said. He said, it's not hard to figure out, he said, why I'm going to the Hall of Fame. I'm here because of players. Coaches don't get in because they're good players. I get in because you have good players. Warren Sapp's in the Hall of Fame. Derek Brooks is in the Hall of Fame. Peyton Manning's going to go in the Hall of Fame. Marvin Harrison's going into the Hall of Fame. And the reason I'm going to go in as a coach is because of my great players. I would suggest to you, he's a great man. You know enough about him, he practices healthy worship. He used to have a terrible temper. Some of you have a temper around sports. You ever had a temper around sports? I don't want to be the only one. Tony Dungy has admitted that's where he would crash and burn. And one day his daddy sat him down and said, son, stop it. And now he gives his life to something called Pro Dads because of the power of having that leadership. And so now he is all about surrendering to God. And he tells his quarterback and players, you work together, man. You're only as good as you are together. And the goal really wasn't to win the Super Bowl. It was for them, but wasn't for him. It was about offering his body to God and loving other people. And then the result is of that ongoing working heart and enthusiasm, God honors him in that way. So the last two verses say, so don't be, never be lazy. Okay, don't give up. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Here are three things I want you to write down. This is right out of verse 12. This is your communion. These are three things you talk about with the Lord. You ready? Here you go. Rejoice in hope. It says, rejoice in hope in verse 12. When things are going wrong, right now some of you things are going wrong, and you need to remind yourself in communion today, God, I have hope because you have a proven record. It's not going right now, but you've got this. I'm giving it to you. Number two, be patient in trouble. You're in trouble right now. You're in pain right now. It's like it's never going to end. And God says, no, you be patient in that. Wait. I'm going to make good out of it. Believe it, you hang on to that. Don't give up. And number three, he says, keep on praying. Because every problem you have, you're either going to panic or you're going to pray. There's no middle ground. And if you haven't thought about it ahead, by the way, you will panic. So think about it ahead. Then when you're shocked this week when something happens, go right to praying. So you spend time now as we hold the emblems. Do you remember his sacrifice? Would you say, God, renew my hope within me? Give me patience in this trouble right now. Help me not to give up and help me to keep on praying. Let's pray. God, we've covered some turf today, but this is a big deal. And we want to change because we want to be healthier and happier. But ultimately, we want to reflect that we belong to you. And so, God, we ask you to begin to work in our hearts in the ways you most need to work. You'll teach us, Lord, to keep that hope no matter what's going on right now. And to take a deep breath and be patient when I'm in the middle of trouble. And when I, just when I feel like I can't pray anymore, pray one more time. Keep on praying. And then in your time, for our good and your glory, you will be faithful. God, I thank you that some in this room have hope. Some in the point right now have hope. They've given up, but they have hope today. As we measure the reality of where we are, give us the ability with your Spirit to manage effectively with your help, becoming healthier people for you and those in our lives. A lifestyle change. And we thank you in advance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.